into our message for today. So if you'd like to start making your way back to your seats, we will continue on with our worship time this morning. Now, last week, I gave an overview message on the idea of being known in our world as Christians in such a way that our faith in Jesus is visible to people around us. And I'm going to follow that up now with a further exploration of what the Bible has to say about being known. This is a thought that's been on my mind as I pray about 2022. What does it mean to really be known in our world? And what ought we be known for as Christians? And just as a quick review, this all, as I said, it comes from considering 2022 and considering how to be the church that Jesus called us to be in an ever-changing world. We're so thankful to have God, that he gives us guidance and examples to follow that can apply to any generation. Certainly there are lots of things that are different now today than there were back in the first century, but so much of what God's word it says is timeless. And so it's good to look back at the early church and good to look back at Jesus' words and see what they say to us. And there are a couple passages that really are in the forefront of my mind as I explore this idea. The first is in Acts 2, verses 42 to 48, which describe the activities of that early church, that first group of Christians after the Holy Spirit had come upon them. We read that Peter preached to the crowds, and there were several thousand people that were added to the number. That was like the first church there in Jerusalem. And they gathered, and they prayed, and they studied God's word, and they loved one another and shared everything in common. At the end of that section of Scripture, we were told that they spent their days in the temple. So they were out in public among the other Jews. And they spent their days in each other's homes, praising God and having favor with all the people. And that idea of having favor with all the people strikes me as an important thing to consider. Having favor as disciples of Jesus is something valuable to strive for, because we have this incredible gift that God has given us, this gift of forgiveness, the gift of new life in Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, of eternity with God. It's the greatest gift of all. It's meant to be shared. We have something wonderful to offer, so it's valuable to consider how we can best display that gift to the world. And that leads me to Jesus' words that Becky shared with us this morning from Matthew 5, that you are a light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we are called by Christ to be a light to the world, not to put it under a basket, not to just keep it to enjoy for ourselves. Jesus himself says that we ought to allow people to see our good works that we do, motivated by God. Not, of course, for our glory, not to try to get something for ourselves, but so that they may come to know God too, that they may share in this gift. Both of these passages say pretty clearly that our faith in Jesus is meant to be seen and shared. It's not meant to be something we keep to ourselves while we watch other people pursue all kinds of different ideas and beliefs in this world that lead them away from knowing the truth of the gospel and the truth of who God is. But the question is, how do we do that in this world today? Where, you know, when you talk about having conversations with people, what are the topics that you're not supposed to talk about? Religion, politics, is there another one you said? Yeah, religion and politics, right? COVID. Right? Although that's what everybody talks about. Right. No, but religion, spirituality is one of those things that's supposed to be off limits. No, we don't talk about that because it might cause debates, it might ruffle feathers, it might get people upset. There's this idea in our culture that if somebody says they believe in something, that you're not supposed to say that what you believe is better or more true than what they believe. Who are you to say that you know anything better than anyone else? That's their truth, that's your truth. Don't try to force your opinion on anyone. That's kind of the culture we live in today. But letting your light shine in this world is going to involve having to present yourself in some way to other people as someone who has valuable knowledge about God. Now, before I go any further, I want to just qualify that piece a little bit. Talk about sharing your knowledge about God, about speaking to other people about your faith. I'm aware when I say those things, I'm speaking to a very diverse group of people. Each one of you has a unique set of personality traits and experiences and gifts that God has given you, right? We have some people who are more reserved than others. They have fewer words. We have some people who are energized by speaking with people. Some are more introverted. Some are more extroverted. We have everything in between. Some are better with actions than words. Some are better with more visual forms of communication or other forms of expression. Some are more effective with small groups. Maybe one-on-one is more effective for you than others. Speak well with a group. And I don't ever want to come across as saying that one of those ways is the right way to share your faith. All of them are. Every one of you has been uniquely gifted by God with a unique personality, with a unique way of expressing yourself in this world. There should not be any pressure on you to try to conform to some idea or expectation of what a Christian is supposed to speak like or not speak like, right? Yes, there is this idea that I'm talking about letting your faith be known, but the idea is that you would use your unique gift mix and your unique personalities to find your way of expressing that faith. In fact, there's something exciting about that when you think about a church full of different people, each of them having their own unique way of expressing faith. How many more people is that going to affect? So I want to make sure I just touch on that to say, it's good to have confidence in who God made you to be and in sharing his light in the way that fits with who you are. And we're going to see more today. And it's really good to have that confidence in sharing with the world what you have. So we're going to take a look today at a section of one of the Apostle Paul's letters, 2 Corinthians. So if you'd like to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let me just set this up a little bit. So the church in Corinth is a church that Paul started early in his missionary journeys. And he has been gone for a while. And in his absence, there have been some other people who've come along who have a different message about God that Paul had. And they have declared that their message is superior to Paul's, that they have a better truth about God than Paul has. And it seems that they've stirred up some division. And the people in the church in Corinth have embraced these new leaders in their teachings. Now, I want to think about that in our cultural context for just a moment. When it comes to having different ideas about religion and spirituality, as I said, that's supposed to be off limits. We're not supposed to force our religion on anyone else. Everyone's religious beliefs, spiritual beliefs are supposed to be equal and acceptable. And there's a sense that if you try to say, hey, what I believe, what I know about God is the truth, there's something prideful about that. And you're not supposed to express that pride. You're supposed to be humble and allow other people to have their beliefs. But there's some flaws in that kind of thinking. And the first is what it says about belief. Now, when you think about the things that we believe, certainly there are some things that you believe, or at least that I believe, that are very subjective and personal. I would tell you that the best food in existence is pizza. My wife knows this, right? Now, is that true for everybody? Of course, yes. Yeah. See, I see some nods out there, right? No, that's not a universal truth. That is a personal truth. It's okay to say, hey, when it comes to your favorite food, what's true for you is good, and what's true for me is good, right? There are some beliefs that are like that, but not all belief is like that. When it comes to foundational things about the world, like whether or not there is a God and what he's like and what he expects of people, those kinds of things are fundamental truths about how the world works. And whatever you believe about those things, right? And I'm not just talking about Christian faith. Whatever anyone believes about the foundational, fundamental things of the world, they believe them because they think they're true. And if they think those things are true, it's true for everybody. If one person believes the world is flat and another person believes the world is round, one of those people is wrong. Right? There are beliefs like that where they're just not true. And so we can't just go through life and saying, well, whatever you believe to be true is just fine. Because knowing the truth would be best for us. And I really like to put out to us as Christians, it's okay to have your beliefs about God be challenged a little bit. To allow yourself to hear what other people believe and consider it. I'm not saying believe whatever you're told, of course, but to discern through those things, because unless we already know everything, it's good to just challenge ourselves and say, okay, let me consider these other thoughts. Let me think, see if they line up with what I know to be true. And find truth. Because if what we say is right, if God's word is his true message to us and what it tells us about him is true, we really have nothing to fear from considering other ideas that we haven't considered before and seeing that they line up with what we know to be true. And it would be good for culture as a whole if we would all do that, right? We ought to expect, actually, people to talk about their religious beliefs and say, hey, here's what I think, and offer that to one another, because we believe those things to be true about the world. And so it's really a flawed idea to think that we really shouldn't talk about those things, and we shouldn't try, you know, certainly we don't want to force things on people, but we ought to be free to share what we think. The second flaw about this idea that it's impolite or prideful to talk about your beliefs as being true is what it says about pride. There is actually a place for speaking up and promoting your ideas as truthful without being sinful or self-seeking. And I think that's what we're going to see in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians here, that Paul gives us a good example and writes some things in this passage that point to the difference between being a light and having confidence in who you are and what you believe versus being prideful and manipulative. And so, with all that in mind, let's go ahead and take a look at 2 Corinthians 10. In this chapter, Paul begins to address the situation where these other people have come and declared themselves to be better than Paul. It gives us a good example to consider when it's important to speak up and defend your own knowledge versus letting things go. So, let's start with verse 1. And in this first part, Paul speaks with a bit of authority and sternness toward the people in Corinth. I'm going to actually read it from the NCV, the New Century Version, because I just like the clarity and how it expresses it. So here's the first 6 verses. It says, I, Paul, am begging you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. Some people say that I'm easy on you when I'm with you and I'm bold when I'm away. They think we live in a worldly way. I plan to be very bold when I come. I beg you that when I come, I will not need to use that same boldness with you. We do live in the world, but we do not fight in the same way the world fights. We fight with weapons that are very different from the world, from what the world uses. Our weapons have power from God that can destroy the enemy's strong places. We destroy people's arguments and every proud thing that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. We capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. We are ready to punish anyone there who does not obey. But first, we want you to obey fully. So let me just comment on that before we go on. Paul is letting these people in Corinth know that he is going to come and boldly destroy some of these arguments and prideful things that have been upheld in their church. He's claiming for himself a certain authority to do this. He's confidently letting people know the role that he has in God's kingdom. Is he being prideful and arrogant in that? He's going to address that as we continue on in this letter. But I also want to say, notice that he expresses a desire to speak with gentleness and kindness. That's how he begins that. I'm begging you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ, he says. So although he's expecting a confrontation, He goes out of his way at the beginning of this passage to say he doesn't want to have to be bold with the people in the church. I don't want to, I'm coming to set things right, but I don't want you to be caught up in that. He wants to show love and concern for the people of the church. Right. He is exactly what he's saying. I have something to say, and I'm going to be tough. But he's expressing this desire, this love for the people that I don't want to have to do this to you. Right? As a parent, have you felt that way toward your kids? I don't want to have to punish you, but if you continue, I'm going to have to. There's an authority behind that, an assumption that I have the right to do that, that Paul is expressing here. So I just see this as one of the examples to follow for ourselves as we interact with people in the world. Although it may be necessary to counter or confront different issues and ideas at times, we need to begin with gentleness and kindness. So let's continue on to verses 7 and 8. Paul says, you must look at the facts before you. I feel sure that you belong to Christ, or no, if you feel sure that you belong to Christ, you must remember that we belong to Christ just as you do. Right? He's letting them know, look, we're all part of the family of Christ. If you're a Christian, certainly I'm a Christian. Let's begin there. And he says, it's true that we brag freely about the authority the Lord gave us. But this authority is to build you up, not to tear you down. So I will not be ashamed. So Paul is pretty bluntly saying, look, I brag about the authority that I have, and I'm not ashamed of it. Now, that word brag carries with it a meaning in our culture today that is fairly prideful. And if you look in the NIV or the ESV translations, the word he uses there, or that's translated there, is boast, which itself also carries that idea that I'm boastful and proud. So I took a look at the Greek word behind this, the actual word that Paul used. And I know I'm not going to say it right, but I'll do my best. Kouchamai. Which means to boast or to brag or to rejoice in, to have glory in. And it says in the definition, this can refer to proper or improper boasting, depending on the object of the boast. And that's really what Paul is going to be saying in this passage. There is a proper type of boasting and an improper type of boasting. And maybe boasting isn't the right word for us to use to really understand this. More to that. He's saying that it's good to rejoice in certain truths, or it's okay to express confidence. He's not ashamed to have confidence in the fact that he has an authority in the kingdom of God. Now, what makes it okay for Paul to do that? He's expressing confidence in who he is in Christ. And God has given him a role of authority in the church. He's not claiming to be anything more than he actually is. He's just declaring the truth. It would be wrong or improper of him to claim something more than that, but it would also be improper for him to claim something less, denying the role that God has given him. He says he's okay of boasting about this authority or having confidence in the authority because he uses it to build up rather than tear people down. And that's an important point to consider when you're making known who you are in Christ and expressing that, hey, I have something important to share about who God is, that you use that in the proper way, that you're not using it to gain something from yourself, but for the good of the people that you're sharing with. And that's the first thing that we see that makes this a proper type of boasting. Paul isn't coming to this church to just take over and take for himself. No, he's doing this out of love for the people, that he wants them to embrace the truth of the gospel, not some false teaching. And he's going to use his authority for that good. Paul is simply expressing confidence in who he is. And he's not going to shy away from letting people know the truth that he knows. And he's not going to shy away from the role that God has called him to in the kingdom. There's a humility in this, in the fact that he doesn't claim to be something greater. And he doesn't use his authority for his own purposes. He's not trying to manipulate the people into doing his own bidding. He simply wants them to look to Christ. Just as Jesus made himself a servant to all, Paul is seeking to serve Jesus and serve the people with the power and influence that God has given him. Now, there's a little bit more we're going to draw out as Paul goes on, because he starts to contrast the type of boasting that he sees happening in Corinth. We're going to read on verses 9 through 11 now. That just wraps up his comments on authority, first of all. He says, I do not want you to think I'm trying to scare you with my letters. Some people say Paul's letters are powerful and sound important, but when he's with us, he's weak, and his speaking is nothing. They should know this, we are not there with you now, so we say these things in letters, but when we are there with you, we will show the same authority that we show in our letters. Again, expressing his authority and expressing his confidence that he is going to speak boldly with them. Then we go on to verse 12. He says, we do not dare compare ourselves with those who think that they are very important. They use themselves to measure themselves, and they judge themselves by what they themselves are. This shows that they are nothing. But we will not brag about things outside the work was given us to do. We will limit our bragging to the work that God gave us, and this includes our work with you. So let's unpack that a little bit. He says, we're not going to compare ourselves to those who think they are very important. That's one of the problems that you can pinpoint about the improper expression, the improper boasting. They think they themselves are very important. And he says this statement about how they measure themselves against themselves. And what he means there is that they don't have any kind of external reference point to show that they have this authority they claim. They basically come in and said, look, I have this superior knowledge about God that nobody else knows. We're the only ones that have this. And you'd better listen to us. And the people in Corinth have said, oh, yes, I guess we should listen to that. Right? Paul's authority was not like that. Paul was not saying, I have this authority in the kingdom of God and I am above everyone else. He actually submitted himself, and he had external references to point to. Paul shared his initial story of conversion to Christ very freely, how he set out to persecute the church, and yet he had this encounter with Christ directly, and there were other people there with him that could confirm what happened. We also read in Galatians chapter 2, that Paul submitted himself at one point to the church authorities in Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem to talk to the disciples who knew Jesus directly and said that he set before them the gospel he was preaching in order to make sure he was not running in vain. So basically what Paul did, he went to other people he knew to be authorities in the church and said, here's the message I have. Here's the gospel message as I understand it. Do you agree? And they did. They put their blessing on Paul and they sent him out. So Paul had this external reference to say, I'm not just saying I have authority myself. It has been tested and approved by other authorities. Unlike those who are in Corinth who are boasting about themselves. And so I think there's something important in that for us to understand why it's important to make sure that when we're, quote, boasting or having confidence in our knowledge of God, that it's rooted in something outside ourselves. Rooted in an established reference like the Word of God, rooted in a church family of people who know you and know that you, how you have committed yourself to God. That we can point to other things to say, hey, it's not just me saying this. I'm speaking God's word. I have other people who can attest to this. There's a confidence and a boldness that can come from that you're not just out there on your own claiming something for yourself. Because Paul points out the emptiness of that kind of authority that's self-approved. That is prideful and arrogant boasting. And we can continue on to verse 14. He says, we're not bragging too much, as we would be if we had not already come to you. But we have come to you with the good news of Christ. We limit our bragging to the work that is ours, not what others have done. We hope that as your faith continues to grow, you will help our work to grow much larger. We want to tell the good news in areas beyond your city. We do not want to brag about the work that has already been done in other people's areas. But if people want to brag, they should brag only about the Lord. It is not those who say they are good who are accepted, but those the Lord thinks are good. And that's a key thing for us to keep thinking about as we talk about how we should be known in the world. It's not those who say they are good who are accepted, but those the Lord thinks are good. We want to seek to be approved by the Lord. The distinction that Paul makes about confidence and pride in this passage has to do with the limits of your boasting. Paul clearly says, look, we're not claiming to do something more than what we've done. We're only going to talk about the things that we have done. And you can look at those things and see that I'm telling the truth. Whereas these other leaders apparently have boasted well beyond their limits, taking credit for what other people have done and saying, no, we're better than that. There's a comparison they're doing and making themselves look better than other people for their own selfish gain. So self-centered bragging or boasting or confidence goes beyond the limits of what you've actually done and claims for yourself what others have done. Now, Paul makes a final appeal in chapter 11. I'm going to start with verse 5 in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, I do not think that those, quote, great apostles, he's referring to those leaders in Corinth, those great apostles are better than I am. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. And boy, wait, I'm just going to stop on that. It just really struck me how many people in our churches today are not trained speakers and therefore they feel disqualified to speak up for Christ. And I just want you to hear that Paul himself was not a trained speaker. It wasn't that he was super qualified, had all the right training, you know, school training, to make him able to speak for Christ. I want to go back to what I said earlier. You have a unique gift mix. You have unique experiences and personality traits that qualify you to speak up for what you know to be true, or to express what you know to be true in your unique way. You don't have to be trained as a theologian to do that. Paul says, I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have shown you this clearly in every way. I preached God's good news to you without pay. I made myself unimportant to make you important. Do you think that was wrong? I accepted pay from other churches, taking their money so I could serve you. If I needed something when I was with you, I did not trouble any of you. My brothers who came from Macedonia gave me all that I needed. I did not allow myself to depend on you in any way, and I will never depend on you. No one in southern Greece will stop me from bragging about that. I say this with the truth of Christ in me. And why do I not depend on you? Do you think it is because I do not love you? God knows that I love you. And then he continues on, and I will continue doing what I am doing because I want to stop those people from having a reason to brag. They would like to say that the work that they brag about is the same as ours. Such men are not true apostles, but are workers who lie. They change themselves to look like apostles of Christ. This does not surprise me. Even Satan changes himself to look like an angel of light. So it does not surprise us if Satan's servants also make themselves look like servants who work for what is right. But in the end, they will be punished for what they do. Now, there's a lot we can look at there, but the beginning here, he's pointing out how he freely shared what he had for the sake of the people. He went out of his way not to take anything from them. And that way he was able to freely point out that, look, I did not come to take anything from you. I simply came to give. And there's evidence for that nobody can take away. And that's part of the confidence Paul had. He didn't come in to make himself important and to take from people, as apparently these other leaders are doing. No, he came in freely to share this knowledge, this wonderful news that he had for their sake. There's something about a proper boasting, a confidence in the knowledge that you have that is supported when you just freely give it. And you're not expecting something back from people to pay you for what you have, right? So there's a lot of things in here. I want to bring this back home now. How does this matter for you in your life with Christ? This whole section of Paul's letter, I think, serves as an example for us of the two different kinds of ways of expressing confidence in what you believe. There are two different groups of people here. Paul and his associates and these other leaders who have gone out into a community and made themselves known as people with important knowledge about the truth of God. They both said that they are an authority of this knowledge. But Paul's given us some great principles to pay attention to if we're going to do that. Because to share our light with the world involves expressing, hey, I know something important about God. And he says, so what he's saying here to us is don't base your confidence on yourself and your own personal claims. Sometimes my tongue gets tied. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And that says, be diligent in understanding God's word for yourself, basing your claims on what God's word says, be part of something bigger than yourself. There's value, as I said earlier, in surrounding yourself with brothers and sisters in Christ that you can build trust with, people who will help correct you when you're going off base and will help you stay on track as well, so that when you do go out the world to present yourself, you have something to back yourself up with. Let your confidence be backed up by God's word and by others who have seen what you do and can attest to your faithfulness to God. I think Paul also tells us in this passage to remember that use the gifts and qualifications God has given you to serve. Serve God and others, building them up with gentleness and kindness, and give of yourself for the sake and the glory of God. But you do that with what God has given you. Don't claim something beyond what God has given you, but also don't minimize what God has given you. Honor him by making full use of the gifts that he's given for his glory. You can humbly offer what you have, yet still have confidence in what God has given you to share. You don't need to compare yourself with anyone else. You don't have to have the same results as anyone else. Simply let your light shine in the way God has given you to shine it. Remember that being a light is going to require you in some way to express confidence in what you know to be true in this world. We are going to have to rise up against that idea that we ought to remain silent about our faith. We're going to have a certain boldness about that, but in a way that is true to God's character. We're going to explore that some more as we continue on. But have confidence in who you are in Christ and how God has gifted you to express yourself and how you can express who he is and what he does in your life. Have confidence in making good use of the gifts that God has given you. Certainly not for your own gain. We know that. But for God's purposes and out of love for others. So let's not hold back on expressing what we know to be true about God, what we know to be true about Jesus Christ. It's not prideful to live with confidence in what God has called you to do. It's not prideful to have confidence in the gifts that he's given you. If you're using those things in a way that builds people up, that honors God, that puts you in a place to serve the Lord well. In fact, it would dishonor him for you to withhold or suppress those things and withhold them from the world. So all of this message is centered today on the idea that it's okay to have confidence in what God has given you. Let's be bold enough in our world to let our light shine. Let's not hold back on expressing what we know to be true, thinking that it's impolite or prideful in any way. Let's make good use of the gifts God has given us to shine our light in this world. Let's give thanks to God for how he works through us and the opportunities he gives us, and then praise him as we close out our service today. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each person here today, for the life they have in you, for the love that you've poured out to them, and for the unique ways that you have made them, Father. And I do pray that you would speak to each of us this week about how to best let your light shine through us in this world. If we have been holding back in any way, Lord, help us to let go of the things that get in the way of us truly being confident in who you've made us to be. We ask for opportunities as we continue to grow in this, Lord, to let your light shine into the lives of others and to help them come to a fuller understanding the truth of who you are and what you've done in our lives through your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.